big of a crowd it was. I was all in my zone over here worshiping the Lord. But I just want to say good morning, and it's an honor that I'm here today. You know, I always tell everybody when they ask me to do events or I get to minister the gospel, you know, I'm nobody. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, you know, and that's really what it comes down to. And I didn't think I was going to cry, but it's just, I'm so overwhelmed by the Spirit of God. And I hope that some of you or all of you are open and willing to receive what God has for you today, because he's so beautiful. And I know that I feel a little bit of resistance, but I felt the Spirit of God when I walked in this room, and I was overwhelmed by it. So I'm just like, that's a good place to be. The Spirit ain't there. I don't want to be there. I don't want no part of it. You know what I mean? So let's open up in prayer. Father God, I just come before you in the name of Jesus, God, and I just offer myself to you as that living sacrifice, Lord. You use me any way you need to use me today, Lord. Touch the heart of all the young people that are here today, Father God, these young adults, God, and I ask that you anoint their lips, God, that everything they say that comes out of their mouth, Father God, that they be an example, God. They may be the only Jesus, God, that their family sees, Lord. I ask that you open up their heart to receive what you have for them today, Lord. And they'll add it to their toolbox, Father God, and they'll use it in their work, Father God. I ask, God, that you just prepare their hearts, God, that this seed, God, fall on good ground this morning. And I ask that your Holy Spirit take over. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have about 20 minutes, and I'll be honest with you. I was like, I don't know exactly, you know, what I'm going to say, what I'm going to do. Obviously, I studied, but when I was in my study time and I was with the Lord, you know, the scripture was given to, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your strength, your mind, your soul. And I'm like, okay, but I mean, there's so many different ways I could go about this. There's all these things that I can say, but what do you want me to say, God? What do you want? What message do you want to relay to these young people today? And what he laid on my heart is to talk about some of the issues that, you know, and I'm going to really compact this, but some of the issues in the areas of dating and school and our career that a lot of times it takes precedence over God and making him number one. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. I want to tell you a little bit about myself. Once again, number one, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And because of God's love, you know, he's took me on an adventure. Whenever I'm ministering to young people and they ask me about my walk, I say, you know what? I don't even know what the heck's going on half the time. I just put my seatbelt on and I go for the ride. You know what I mean? That's real talk, though. That's real talk, because you don't know where God's going to take you. And for you adventurers, I mean, you eat that up, because God is good, you know, and he may just wake you up one day and send you on a mission. Once again, your heart has to be right. You have to be connected to the power source to be available and ready to receive where he wants to send you, or he wants to take you. My testimony, you know, I came from, you know, low income. I'm half Mexican and half black. You know, I was raised more a Hispanic culture. My mom and my stepdad being Mexican, and they worked in the fields and packing houses. My dad still works in a packing house. And I came from that, you know, more of the lower income side. You know, I remember there was a time when I only had two pairs of pants, and I was in high school. I was like, man, I was always ditching school because I was like, I'm not going to go to school with two pairs of pants. You guys know how it is. You got to look fly, look nice, and all that. And so I didn't go to school a lot. You know, God is good. I turned it around, got good grades, all that good stuff at the end. But, you know, ministering to the youth, some of you who are in youth ministry is so important. You know, a lot of you leaders out there, you are a leader, every single person in here. You're all they got. You know, raise your hand if you're in youth ministry right now. Some of you guys are in youth ministry. That's good. You guys are molding the next generation. That's such an honor. And I went to youth group, and you know, I love God, and I get all into it, and the rest of the homies are in the back all laughing at me, like, hey, you're overdoing it, you know what I mean? And so I would start kicking it with them, and on, and then, you know, I went through my drug phase, and college, and then what else? You know, an abusive relationship with domestic violence. I remember I was 19, I'm just kind of, it all's going to make sense, but I remember being 19, and God was always there, but it was up to me if I wanted to choose him or not. And I was in this relationship, and I had told my boyfriend at the time, you know, well, I don't want to smoke weed, I don't want to drink, I don't want to, you know, fornicate, I don't want to do all these things anymore. You know, I really feel God is calling me, and I want to be a part of that. And I remember I was holding his hand, I'm talking to him, I'm telling him all these things, and he's just tripping out on me like, you know, would you smoke? What the heck are you talking about? Jesus, you know what I mean? And I go, would you stay with me if I decided to go back to church and serve God? I remember he let go of my hand, and I stayed with him for 3 more years. Once again, God always gives you windows of opportunity to serve him, to love him. And what happened in that time of my life, you know, God was always there, but I made friends, or I made school, or I made a boyfriend, or other people, you know, take precedence over the love of God. And that scripture comes into play because God's like, love me, consume yourself in me, let me just fill you up, and everything else is going to fall into place. You know, seek ye first the kingdom, you know? And I'm going to actually talk about this. But I remember at 22, I had moved to Fresno, and I was getting out of drugs and getting out of an abusive relationship. I'm 28 right now, and I was like, I'm done. I just want to serve God. And then it took a couple years for me to completely give up alcohol and weed and meth and all these kind of things. So I've been sober from weed since I was 22 meth, 23 weed, and 25 alcohol. So I'm completely abstinent in that area. So I don't believe in any of that stuff. So I don't drink smoke or anything. Thank you. But it's all God, you know? And I would come, and I was still 21, 22. I would sit in church just like this, and I'd get into it. But then as soon as someone's like, hey, you want to go to the club? There's this cute guy, or there's this party. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go smoke that joint. God will forgive me. I'll just repent later. You know what I mean? The game. You guys know what I'm talking about, the games that we play, right, with God. But we have to fully commit, not 50%. So I challenge you guys to do a heart check. You know, take that scripture to your heart. Where are you at right now? Are you on a scale from 1 to 10? Are you a 1 or 2 or 3 or 4? Where are you at? Usually we'll give God, we'll make everything else first, like college, career, school, and then we'll put God, you know, okay, I'm going to give God a little bit. God will forgive me. He understands. I'm young. When I'm 30, I'll calm down. Or when I'm 35, when I'm 40, we just rationalize all these kind of things. But God's like, consume yourself in me now, and you'll avoid a lot of the drama, and I'll actually excel you, you know, past so many other people. I mean, it's not the things, it's for God, but that's a little bit of my testimony. What's cool about God is when you fully submit and you really surrender to Him and you make Him your number one, He turns everything around. You know what? You guys have heard it. What the devil meant for bad, God will use for good. And if you would have told me 5, 6, 7 years ago that I'd be a domestic violence counselor, that I'd be a parenting counselor, that I'd be a substance abuse counselor, I'd be like, yeah, right. You know what I mean? I would not even believe them. I don't want to do that. And I mean, He took all my fears, issues, insecurities, He turned them around, and now I'm able to use those for His kingdom and His glory, you know? And He's doing the same thing in a lot of your lives right now, and He's good, but I just wanted to kind of let you know where I'm coming from. And I'm at West Care right now. I go to Cornerstone Church, so I mean, if y'all saw me just in my zone, that's how we do it at Cornerstone. I mean, we're just in the zone. We're in praise and worship. I love Pastor Frank and Pastor Cindy over there. And so that's where I serve right now, and I've been there for about 4 years serving as a youth leader. So that's a little bit about me, but I don't want to, you know, take all that time about me. I just want you guys to know where I'm coming from. But I want to read the scripture, and most of you guys know this. You may think it's a basic scripture. You may think that it's a common scripture. You already have it memorized. I think a lot of times, and God has shown me this in my time of prayer, that, you know, we complicate things a lot, or we want to be so mentally, like, so knowledgeable and so overeducated, and we forget the basics, which is love. Because I've seen people that, I mean, they could, oh boy, they could preach, huh? They could preach and they could teach and do all these things. But then when they're off the pulpit and you talk to them, you can feel the coldness. You can't even have a conversation with them. You know, it's the everyday life, the way we treat people. That's what's important. And we forget that a lot of times. The greatest commandment of all time. And if you read Matthew, you guys are familiar with Matthew, and the Sadducees and Pharisees are talking to Jesus, and I break it down in a little ghetto talk sometimes, but, you know, they're trying to punk and play him, you know what I mean? They're trying to see, well, what are you about? Trying to feel him out, getting together. Well, I'm asking some questions and see what he says. And, of course, witty as God, our God is, right? You know what I mean? Jesus was off the, I love it. And he's like, you know, the greatest commandment of all time is to love the Lord your God with all that you have, your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. And I just want you guys to remember that we are a triune being. He made us, and He wants it all. He wants all of it. He wants the mind, the body, and the soul, not just part of it. God wants everything. I mean, He's the one who created it. He's the one who created you. So He knows those plans that He has for you anyway. And a lot of times we waste time because so-and-so is on worship team, and I want to be part of the worship team, or so-and-so is part of this, and I want to preach, or I want to teach. And it's like, you know, what was told to me is you are a walking ministry. You know, everything that comes out of your mouth, you're speaking life or death, it affects people. So if God has you as a student, then that's your ministry, to minister to the other students on your campus. You have roommates, wherever God has you, but the only way things are going to fall into place for us is if we love the Lord and we submit fully to Him. I don't have hardcore statistics on this or anything, but this is just from experience and what God laid on my heart. He goes, I want you to talk a little bit about dating. And I go, what does dating have to do with love the Lord your God with all your heart? I mean, where does that come into play? And I was like, okay, God, are you sure? I'm thinking, is this me? Is this God? You know, and in my prayer time, and God wanted me to break these three age groups down. And I didn't know what to expect when I came. I know it's college hour, but when I look out and I see you guys are the age group of, you know, what I'm going to be talking about, and I see exactly why the Lord wanted me to focus on this. Ages 18 to 21. Remember, we're focusing on the scripture, love the Lord your God with all your heart. A lot of times we make other things, you know, more important than God. Between the ages of 18 and 21, usually what happens to young people, yes, young Christians as well, is dating, the college and the wild parties, because it's so accessible and we're curious. You know, there's times when we say, okay, but I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to smoke, I'm just going to be there just in case something happens. But then we end up getting caught up in those situations. So that's usually what takes precedence over the 18 to 21 year olds. The 20 to 25 year olds, usually what they commit themselves to is a serious relationship. You know, I'm 21, 22, 23, I'm older now, I'm an adult, I'm mature. Then you end up falling into a relationship, falling in love with a person, and that usually only lasts about 2 or 3 years a lot of times, you know, especially if it's not in God's order. And there we go, you know, we've wasted 2 or 3 years in a relationship that was not even our husband or wife. And then you're also in the way of God's will for their life. We have a responsibility for where we place ourselves and the other people's time that we're taking as well. And the enemy deceives us with that. But if we would have submitted to the Lord, we would have known who that spouse would have been. Maybe God doesn't want you to be with anybody. Maybe he wants to set you aside for himself for 5 years, take you on an adventure, and then God's like, okay, I'm going to take you on another adventure called marriage, but not yet. He wants to prepare you. Or he could be preparing your husband, and yet we're over here dating other people. You know, so it gets deep, and these are the things that take us away from the Lord. And then you have your 25-year-olds, because you've really grown now, right? At 25, you're an adult. You know it all. I mean, I know when I turned 25, I had a mid-20s crisis, and now I'm going to be 29 this year, and I don't like it. I'm like, no, not yet. No, but at 25, it's usually like, okay, you know, I want to buy a house, or I'm going to graduate school. I want to get married. I want to have kids, and my career, my future. Or there's the one who doesn't want to get married and have kids, and it's all about career. You know, I graduated, I got my degree, you know, now I'm just, you know, workaholic. I want to be leadership at work. I want to be this, I want to be that. And what happens is that we still are missing the mark. We're doing good things, and we were set aside for good works, but still, we're still a lot of times not loving the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul. You know, it's kind of like diving in a swimming pool. You just got to, like, boom, you just got to dive into God. You just got to just dive in, you know, cannonball it. You know what I'm saying? You guys know what I'm talking about. With no floaties, no nothing. It's just like, it's kind of like even diving in the sea, you know, walking on water. For a lot of years, I didn't even realize what, you know, didn't understand what that meant. And I'm like, man, serving God is like walking on water, because it's like, if I turn back, I'm going to sink. And a lot of times, God only lets you see just right what's in front of you. And you're just like, man, that's a faith walk. Okay, God, I'm going to keep going. And these things end up distracting us from God. God's like, come here, I want to call you higher. I want to set you aside. I want to work on you. I want to work on your issues. I want to take stuff out. It's like, you know, jumping on the potter's wheel. He goes, I want to work with you. I want to mold you. And I want to love on you. And because you are the righteousness of God in Christ, I'm going to hook you up. And we don't do it for the stuff, but that's real talk. It's part of the, you know, we're kingdom children. It's part of the package. And he hooks you up, and you're all equipped, and you're ready. And I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying dating is wrong, I'm not saying getting married is wrong, I'm not saying any of that stuff is wrong. That's, I mean, it's all part of the beauty of what God hooks us up with if you're called to that area. But a lot of times we put that ahead, you know. And this, we overcomplicate, but it's so simple that he already has our steps mapped out for us. And that could be scary for us who are strong-minded, have that pride, who already have an idea, we already have our plan set up, and then God's going to come and mess it up. But you know what? This is what I've learned from God. There was a time when I wanted to, I'm not even done with my 4-year degree yet. And there's so many, you know, I'm 28 and there's so many years. I'm like, okay, I'm going to school. I'm just going to do an accelerated course. I'm going to do, you know, whoop-de-whoop, ABC. And God's like, well, what if I don't want you to go to college? Oh, hold up, God. You don't want me to do what? You know what I'm saying? I need my paper. I need my, you know, security there. And I've gotten certified in all these things, but it's scary sometimes, you know. But God's like, come up higher. And he hasn't done me wrong ever since I've been walking with him. You know, there's times that maybe things that he was going to do for me get prolonged because of me, because I didn't want to fully submit. But, you know, there's a lot of things that I don't know. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, but I know what I know. You see what I'm saying? if you fully submit to the Lord, I promise you, and there's a lot of stuff I cannot promise you today, that you will not regret it, that he will make your life amazing. And I'm not saying that obviously you guys are all called, you know, to be students right now, but I challenge you to sit at the feet of Jesus and really be a student of the Word of God. And to love him with all you have. He's not going to burn you. He's not going to play you. He's not going to hurt you. If anything, he ends up making you the coolest cat on the scene. You know what I'm saying? Because all this knowledge and wisdom and the love and the peace and the patience and everything that he deposits in you. But God can't deposit in you if you're running around and, well, I got to do this. Or, you know, girlfriend call over here, boyfriend this. Or God's like, because I know myself, I can be a Martha a lot instead of Mary. You know what I mean? It's like, just chill. Just chill, let God deposit in you, and he's going to really hook you up. And you don't got to be out there searching and looking for all these things, because God will bring it to you. Or he'll guide you and tell you and show you how to go get it. It's awesome. You know, God is not boring. I used to be at that stage where I was like, man, you know, I love God, and I love being at church, but, you know, what about this and that? And so I ended up compromising. And I ended up missing out. Sometimes I think, man, where would I have been if I would have fully submitted at 18 or 19? But you know what? Shoulda, coulda, woulda. My life is still amazing because of Christ. And in the end, that's all that matters. The stuff doesn't matter. The stuff is part of the package, but the only thing that matters is my heart right with God. You know, am I really fully submitted? Because a friend had told me this the other day, and it checked me. She goes, you can be in church. You can be doing the things of God. You could even be ministering and preaching, you could be doing all these things, but that doesn't mean you're godly. Does that make sense? You can be in church and not be godly. You can be doing the things of God and speaking the word of God, and that's how we get deceived and not be godly. But I guarantee you, if you fully submit and you love the Lord with everything that you have, you will become godly, because you've been at his feet, you've surrendered, and he's molding you. And that's the only way we're going to do it. That's the only way we're going to make it. Raise your hand if you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, if you're dating right now. Raise them high. Some of y'all are like, now I don't want to raise my hand. Y'all. Raise your hand. I want to see. Okay. I want to see. So a lot of you, you take that to the Lord. I'm not saying, you know, breakups. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying what God had me say. Make sure that he's the priority, because he's the one who's going to teach you how to take care of that husband or wife. He's the one who's going to teach you how to take care of that girlfriend or boyfriend. And he's going to teach you how to, and that's a whole other thing I don't want to really get into yet, but it starts off with friendship, then courting. God broke it down for me one day. I was just not doing what I was supposed to do. It starts off with a friendship, godly courting. Yes, see what I'm saying? And I know it's kind of like courting. It's 2009. What do you mean courting? You know what I mean? It's like, okay, you know? But, I mean, doing it God's way is the best way. Godly friendship, godly courting, you know, and then which is dating, but only dating that person who's supposed to be for you. And if you're submitted to God, he'll show you that. And then the engagement, and then the marriage ceremony, and then consummation. So there's actually 5 steps that God broke down to me, but we usually go from A to Z, right? Instead of going A, B, C, D, you know what I mean? Taking those steps. But I hope that, you know, I'm here because God, you know, wanted me to send this message to you guys. And I hope it makes sense. I hope it applies. I hope it's something practical that you can take with you, you know, on a daily basis. But loving the Lord your God, you know, it's not, he's commanding us to do it. He's not asking. And he's not commanding us because he wants to make our lives harder. He actually wants to make our lives easier. And he's commanding you to do it because it starts from the top down. He's the top. So we have to physically take ourselves like an outlet. Plug ourselves in so your light will shine. You know, plug yourself into the power source, you know, which is usually the wall, the outlet. And then you're the lamp, you're the light, you end up shining. And we start plugging ourselves into other stuff. And it's a straight mess. It's a mess. It might be cool for a while. That's how we get deceived. Then it turns into a mess. Then we're crying back. But if we do things right, you know, we have an opportunity. You guys have an opportunity to break generational curses. You guys know what generational curses are? Basically break a lot of the issues that, you know, our parents had to go through. God's like, I'm going to hook y'all up. I'm calling you now. Do you know how many people don't even know where to go to church at, and God's bringing everything to you right now? And, you know, God's will, he does what he does. But you guys are anointed. You guys are blessed. you're hooked up, you're taken care of, and I'm not talking about the tangible or the physical stuff or the money in your pocket, but if you have ears to hear, you need to hear the word of God, because it's the only way that your dreams are going to come through. And having the courage to lay your issues and lay even your goals and dreams, all those things you hold precious to your heart, trusting God, it comes down to trusting him, because if we don't trust God, we're not going to submit to him. And the only way you're going to fully commit to him is if you spend time in your word and you realize how much he really loves you. There is no love like God's love, no love. And he's going to hook you guys up and take care of you. I want to finish off with this poem. And I just moved, and I had a bunch of boxes in my, perfect timing. I have 1 minute. I write poetry from time to time. It helps me to release. And I just moved. I had a bunch of boxes in my backyard, and I was throwing out trash. And I go, what's in there? Because me, I end up making my own little treasures, right? Because I write stuff, and I put it away, and then I forget I have it. And I ran into this poem, and it's called Men and Love. It's a little bit just about my life and God ministering to me and telling me to make him first. And I forgot that I even wrote this. I just found out the other day, and then I started getting my word, and he's like, talk to him about dating. And I was like, okay, God, whatever you want, I'm going to say. And it's just so cool the way you hooked this up. But if you're a man, you can plug in a female. Men and Love. It's called, well, all the men that I've loved, oh, there's been a few. Poems, cards, and candy, a glass of wine or two, and some lasted a few months and some a year or two. Remembering the time, slow dancing in my living room, believing he was the one, finding out it wasn't true, causing me to turn to the Lord to get my God's point of view. And he said, little girl, come to me and I will take care of you. Let me prepare the man, the one I've chosen for you. He's still not ready, and neither are you. Forget those men you've loved that never really loved you. Let me fill you up with my words of truth. Relax your mind and enjoy your youth. Let me ease your troubled mind, my child, for the day will come, and it's coming soon, when you will be released to that man. So be still and wait, for your love is in my hands. As you walk in full obedience, the fullness of my plan will unfold. The story has only been just begun and has never been told. The story of your love life, my daughter, will be revealed in the secret place with me. Rest your head on my lap and be free, for you are mine and I am yours. Let me grow you up so you'll be hurt no more. Psalms 37:5, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. He wants every part of you. And for those of you who are looking for love in the wrong places and even your beautiful plans in your career, lay them at the feet of Jesus, and I promise you, he will not fail you. Thank you for having me here.
And all God's people said, amen. Let's give our daughter one more hand. Thank you for being here. Terry, could you move this for me? Now we have a special presentation for you.